CGI just looks too slick sometimes.
Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 58, and we are jumping off of Kubo and the Two Strings, which is made by Laika Productions, who also whose first movie was Coraline, and then Paranorman, and then a little lull, and then this one.
Yeah, this one a lot different from the other two. Like, I've seen part of Paranorman. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anything of Coraline.
Well, Coraline's also on Netflix. Oh, okay. And that's an adaptation of a Neil Gaiman book.
Okay.
It's a creepy kids movie.
Kind of their theme.
Well, I actually saw
kids movies that aren't quite kids movies.
Yeah. And that's a good thing, yeah. I think. Kids movies that you know, the parents will get something out of.
Right.
And I don't necessarily feel like you need to classify it as a kid's movie.
Yeah.
But and it's all stop motion animated. And Kubo, the entire thing is stop motion animated.
Right.
There is no CG in that entire movie.
Yeah, which is amazing considering how absolutely beautiful the movie is.
Even the water was stop motion animated. Like, if it was shimmering and moving, that was... Frame, move.
That's ridiculous to me. Because, like, when I think of stop motion animation, I think of, like, Wallace and Gromit.
Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah.
I mean, like, the clunky kind of, like...
Yeah.
Like, the Adult Swim show Moral Oral. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I think of when I think of stop motion animation. Like, just that sort of clunky put together, you know.
It's
got its own good qualities, but yeah.
And
I'm not used to something that's this slick.
Yeah, Kubo, the animation is high enough quality where you question whether it's computer animated.
Right.
But it is not. I've seen pictures of the sets. It's beautifully done, and it's just...
How long does that take to do?
That's why it took so long between Paranorman and Kubo.
Yeah,
it's a long, painstaking process, and they they took over a warehouse to do it. So even though everything's miniature, it still took
it's still huge.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you're fitting an entire world into a warehouse. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like you just did it in this room.
So yeah, Kubo came out last year, so we're not doing the flashback thing like we tend to do. But it came out last year, and it was nominated for Best Animation, but I don't think it won, which sucks.
That does kind of suck.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're taking an old school style of animation and making it look so good that it looks like the new stuff.
Mm-hmm. But better.
But better because it's more organic.
Yes.
You know, CGI just looks too slick sometimes.
And for anybody who hasn't watched it, the story is very it's based in not necessarily the Japanese mythology, but Japanese ideology and how the spirituality works in Japan. So it's a different story for the Western audience that they don't normally get otherwise.
I don't think they've done the Oscars yet, have they?
For last year, yeah.
For 2017?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nominated, but it didn't win.
Yes. That's what
I
said.
I don't think it won.
No, it did.
It didn't say. What won? Fucking Moana?
No, I hope it was not Moana.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yes, you are. And it's wonderful radio.
Oh, it's fucking Zootopia.
Yeah. So, Barf. Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disney.
Disney BS.
Disney computer generated crap.
Yeah. Right. Right. And I mean, that's pretty much what it is. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, Disney films at one point were an art form.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, going back to our childhood,
they still are, but it's a different art form. And there's so much is automated by computers that it kind of
it took the soul out of it a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when we were kids, Disney films were art.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it was... Each cell was a piece of art.
Right, right. I mean, and it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it created environments and scenes and stuff that I'd still never seen with a all-CGI film.
Well, and...
You know,
and,
I mean, for as fun and everything as things like, you know, Toy Story and all that stuff were...
Right.
They were beautiful.
Right, and, well, there's... Yeah, and... With a lot of the computer animation, they almost try for too much realism.
Yeah.
Some of the best looking computer animated pieces are ones that try to emulate the old style.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and you kind of wish they would do that, but at the same time, it's still not the same. Yeah. You know, there's a certain amount of soul that gets put in the piece when
right. and
the
I
artists
wish
are
that they would go back and do some of the old style animated films, mm-hmm. you know.
And I love that Laika is sticking to stop motion. This is how we make movies, and they're all beautiful. It, you know.
Yeah, this is our niche.
This is what we do. And you know, I saw the friggin' the first preview for Kubo was just the quote, you know, the don't blink if you look away even once, and then the hero will surely die. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I have to watch this.
Yeah. This movies don't generally tell me these things.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I mean, I like that they're doing it. I liked the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really thought it was not a kid's movie, even
right?
Though it was kind of a kid's movie,
yeah. I'm not sure what the intended audience is, but if it's animation, unless it has an R rating, then it's considered a kid's movie,
right?
Yeah,
right. And I mean, and I guess with the hero being a child, and you know, these,
but he lost, but his grandfather stole his fucking eye.
Well. I know, right? But I mean,
those are not kid themes.
No, but there's, you know, the anthropomorphic monkey, the anthropomorphic beetle man, and you know,
there is some comic relief to take the edge off of your grandfather stole your eye.
Yeah,
as a baby.
What a dick. but I mean, it's cool because it incorporates. I mean, and you can go into more detail about like the Japanese mythology because you know a lot more about it than I do.
Mm-hmm.
But it incorporates kind of, you know, the epic quest, which is fun.
Well, when we said we were doing Kubo, Amelia instantly said epic level bard.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which this very much could be a role-playing session.
Oh, for sure.
And I relate more to actually Changeling the Dreaming has an Eastern book.
Right,
because they had their Year of the Lotus, where all of their lines got a Eastern feel, and Kubo very much falls into the rules in that book.
Okay,
and you could, you know, it's and the magic is very nature based, and you kind of pick an element, and you could pick wood and air. And do everything that Kubo is doing with the origami and all that.
Right.
And, you know, it's very much a kind of fey dreaming type thing with an Eastern feel to it. And as far as for actually fitting the Eastern mythology, it's kind of a thing where you're putting an Eastern layer on a Western, it's a hybrid. It's a mashup. It's what we rail against in a lot of things. It's like, this is kind of whitewashing.
Yeah, and, you know, I was going to bring that up.
It's fucking lovely. Yeah. It's beautiful and it's well done. And where do you draw the line on that? It's obviously Asian characters, so they got that right.
Right.
They didn't completely whitewash it.
Yeah.
But there's very much Western there's a Western feel to it.
Yeah.
That is definitely there.
There is. And I mean, it probably, the all white cast probably, you know, has a lot to do with that. They don't really add a lot of.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, all the voices are white people, but right. Portrayed on the film,
yeah.
They're actually Asian.
They're, yeah. But I guess there's a certain, I don't know, a certain timbre and tone and way of speaking mm-hmm. that, you know, you don't get when your Asian character is played by Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I mean.
I forget like, everything. All right.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess a little bit of that is lost, but.
Not that we have anything against Matthew McConaughey, because he's like a local celebrity now, right? Isn't he here?
Sort of hang out here.
So we get
Matthew McConaughey, if you have a problem with this, please come hang out with us.
Please come tell us in person on mic. Yes.
Drop your link in over here.
We will enjoy the ratings bump.
Yeah.
As we go fucking viral.
Make our monkey asses famous. Yeah, I forgot that he did live here. Like, didn't he move up to like the cliffs? Or
Yeah. I mean, all the rich people live up at the cliffs, and we only know of a few of them.
Right.
You know?
Which is so, like, stereotypical. Like, well, the rich people have the houses up on the hills, but us commoners just live down here. Yeah.
A few of them come down to the downtown area and actually get
and
a feel
grace
for
us with their presence. Yeah.
And when they do that, then someone recognizes them, and we realize, oh, they've been living up there for years.
Yeah, like Ben Stein. Which is great.
Yeah. Apparently not enough people won his money.
Yeah, I know. He still has plenty of it left.
Yes.
All that happened was he made Jimmy Kimmel famous.
Yay.
Thanks, Ben Stein.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
50-50?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he seems like an okay guy, but he's also Jimmy Kimmel. So.
Yeah.
Who's kind of that. Although, I loved that show. Did you watch a lot of that show?
Which
when
one?
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it was a game show with a little bit of humor.
Right. It was on Comedy Central.
Okay. You may be too young to remember Remote Control.
I loosely remember. I did not watch a lot of it because I think I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
But I remember the show.
Which was very much a, you know, and it was pop culture comedy game show on MTV, obviously. But yeah. So, Kubo. Or we can keep going down there. Whichever one. We like rabbit holes and tangents.
Tangents. Yeah. But yeah, no, when Ben Stein's money, it was just this fun show because, for one, you didn't realize how smart the Clear Eyes guy was, you know, until he's really just whooping these people's asses.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I guess he went to Harvard, so that helps. But, I mean, I know some pretty not smart people went to Harvard.
Yeah.
Or other Ivy League schools.
Yes.
Sometimes even become president.
Well, and the question is, how much did they cater the questions to stuff that he would, to areas that he would know? Not necessarily, you know, telegraphing the answers to him, but.
Right. You know. Just playing on his field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I don't know. Like I said, I just thought it was a cool show.
Yeah.
Made Ben Stein a lot cooler than just, you know, Ferris Bueller's teacher and the Clear Eyes guy. But and he was like a speechwriter.
Horrible freaking right-wing
person. Well, I mean, he was a speechwriter, I think, for Nixon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's danced with that devil before.
And that turned out well.
Yeah.
Could he go right for Trump? I like the ending.
No, he writes a complete sentence. It doesn't work.
I still like the ending.
We just need to
get the ending.
Yeah. As long as we get the ending right, it's fine.
We may be heading in that direction.
I think so.
We'll see.
Well, you can't, like, piss off the entire FBI.
The entire intelligence community.
Right, and not expect something to happen.
Because we have, like, 11 intelligence agencies, and we only know of, like, 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the rest of them are...
Deep state.
They're there.
They're not there.
Right.
But they're actually
there. Yeah. They're not there, but, you know, they'll feed information to the ones that we know about.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just waiting for, you know, a couple people to release some sort of, like, document or tapes or something.
What? Did you see freaking Trump's threats this morning?
No.
Sorry, 45 threats.
I avoid that fucker like the plague at this point.
He tweeted something like, before Comey goes leaking to the media, I hope he remembers what might be on any, quote, tapes. I don't know.
Well,
you know, that's like blackmail and
it's sort of coercion. It's a threat of coercion.
Yep. Definitely blackmail. Corruption.
Oh, for sure.
Here's
the thing, like
obstruction of justice.
I've seen it at our job. Sometimes if somebody doesn't like you enough, they'll throw themselves on the fire just to drag you with them.
Yeah.
You know, it happened to a coworker of ours. He was a notorious dick to other people that worked there. And finally, two people got pissed off at him. They got themselves in trouble just to get him fired, and he's never been back.
Okay, we'll talk about that off air.
That's why I did not get
fired.
But we can.
Yeah.
Unless the microphone is off. But yeah, I mean, if Comey really wants to...
Well, and what does he have to lose now? He's being crucified in the court of public opinion, at least by the...
Not nearly as bad as Spicer, who hid in the bushes. That's the funniest shit I've ever heard.
I can't wait for Melissa McCarthy.
I know. He's literally like that Homer Simpson thing where he just kind of disappears.
Well, and now they're saying that he was scheduled for vacation this week, which would have, with Melissa McCarthy hosting SNL, I can understand that he should have been on vacation this week.
Instead,
but
he didn't throw her a softball. He threw her a fucking beach ball.
But yeah, they should have had the forethought for him not to be there at all this week. But somehow he's in the bushes.
Yeah.
And
he's spicy in the bushes.
Was he walking and somebody saw him? I never saw anything other than he was literally hiding in the bushes. Never saw any details on what the hell.
Apparently, like he was going to give a statement. Get one on camera or whatever.
And you can't.
And so, like, he goes and, like, sort of hides in, like, the bushes and, like, this little dark thing where you can't really take a picture of him. You know, it's just great. It's so fucking surreal. Like, it's like a bad reality. I'm waiting for the first season of, like, 45 in the White House to come out on, like, E or whatever, because it really is just a bad
It's going to be Hard Knocks. It's going to be freaking HBO.
Yeah.
You can't air this shit on network.
Sure you can. America, baby. Okay. So Kubo.
Kubo.
Please, let's talk about
Kubo. I love the movie. The
music was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
The music was great.
Yeah.
Like, as someone who likes music. And, like, more classical, you know, kind of music. It really was good.
Mm-hmm.
I very much appreciated it.
And, you know, I've watched it several times, and I feel like it's less of this the more times I watch it, but it kind of feels like the heavy-handed Love Conquers the Evil bullcrap that you get with like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Where even if somebody's dead, their love will save you somehow.
Well, I mean, that goes all the way back to like Star Wars.
But, you know, but you watch it. Yeah. You watch it enough times and it's actually Kubo he's coming into his power. It feels like that the first couple watches where it's, oh, the mother's love saves him. But no, that's just Harry Potter bullshit. but everybody loves Harry Potter.
Yeah, I do. I still like Harry Potter.
It's been a bit overdone for me. I ran into my ceiling of Potterdom.
I could see
several years back.
Although, did you see Fantastic Beasts?
I have not seen Fantastic Beasts.
It's actually pretty good. It is.
Okay.
It's not like Harry Potter in a lot of ways.
Right.
It really isn't. It's, I don't know. I liked it.
Okay.
I mean, I, as weird as it sounds, as a grown man, I just went by myself and watched it one day.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm a parent, so if I go see something, it's going to be alone.
And, yeah. Well,
and with some popcorn and sadness.
And quiet.
And quiet. Well,
and quiet.
And quiet, depending on, yeah,
valuable,
the rest of the rest of the theater. But yeah.
But you get what I mean.
Yeah. Not waking up. Got woken up at 3:30 this morning because Rowan was acting out like both sides of a Dora episode.
I see.
The conversation between Dora and Boots at full volume. So I've been up since about 3:30.
That is unacceptable. That's why I will not be having children.
Well, that's what your dogs are doing, but you just can't understand what's being said.
So when they just like brew around the house?
Yeah, they're singing the map song.
Yeah.
I'm the map, I'm the map.
Yeah.
Yes, that one.
No, but see, our dogs don't do that that much. Like, at worst, like, they ring the bell and they have to go out and pee.
Okay.
Unless Sulu rings the bell because he wants to be pet. And he'll do that. Like, the worst thing we ever did was teach that dog to ring that bell. Yeah. He'll ring it when he has to go out, so you have to let him out.
Yeah, so.
He'll also ring it if he wants attention. So at, like, 3 in the morning, he'll ring the bell, and you'll go open the door, and he'll take 3 steps back and sit and look at you. Like, hey, I just wanted you to pet me.
Hey, since you're up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he'll ring it if he wants a cookie. He'll ring the bell. And then when you open the door, he'll walk right over to his spot and sit down and look at the cookie jar and be like, treat. It's a smart dog.
You trained me. If I ring the bell, I get a treat. So I'm going to hold you to this.
It's more of, you train me. If I ring the bell, you come. And then once you're here, I can do with you what I want.
So the training is backfiring on you, is what you're saying.
It's backwards. We've been training.
Yes. You thought you were training the dog. The dog trained you.
Yes. Sneaky Japanese dogs. Very sneaky. They are. Like, they're way too smart for their own good.
Yes. And they are actually Shiba Inus. He's not making a statement about
anything they are Japanese. Shiba Inus. They're not Japanese dogs. The breed is Japanese. The most popular of the Japanese dogs.
I was trying to piece together the awful stereotype you were going off on him. Like, they are Japanese dogs.
Yeah, we're going to play game of this racist. It's like, no, it's not. They're actually Japanese dogs.
How racist are we going in this episode? No.
Not at all.
No, the dogs. The dogs are actually...
Yes, the dogs are actually Japanese.
I don't know if you paid any attention to the Ghost in the Shell.
The movie? Oh, that's just getting crucified for its whiteness?
We touched on some whitewashing stuff, and I guess we... That is a prime example of it. Then there's the Emma Stone movie where she was supposed to be playing a half white, half friggin' half Hawaiian character.
Oh yeah, yeah. I heard about that, half Chinese
or whatever it was in Hawaii. Yeah, Hollywood has this. Yeah, they tend to cast white actors for non-white parts.
Yeah.
It's part that there's a proliferation of white actors and not as many.
Right. Well, and especially when you're looking at like your big name actors, because you're talking a film that
Matt Damon in The Great Wall.
Yeah. Oh my
God. I don't think anyone saw that movie, but yeah.
No, Matt Damon didn't even watch that movie.
when he was in it.
Yeah. He just closed his eyes.
No, then he was playing a freaking blind Chinese man, huh?
That's true.
That's even worse.
I know. But they've
But yeah, I think
because like if you have a movie that you don't think maybe could draw on its own merit, you try to put a big actor or actress in it. And so I think that's where a little bit of that whitewashing comes from.
And we don't have a big Asian actor in this generation. We don't have Chow Yun-fat. We don't have Jackie Chan, even.
Right.
We don't have an Asian draw.
No, I don't think we do. I mean, it's trying to think. Yeah.
Yeah, and it goes.
Is it John Cho that plays Sulu in Star Trek? Is he
our biggest Asian actor? Yeah, I guess so at this point.
But he's not, I mean,
but he's
a legitimate actor. He's not an action movie guy or anything like that.
But he's not a lead.
No.
Yeah.
He's not a lead.
And the less the
diverse
the climate of the studios at this point is
always
hit. Is going for the hits and not going for the smaller niches, so you don't end up with like the Joy Luck Club, which was an entire Asian cast, which was an Academy Award winning film.
Right.
But the studios have to make mega bucks on everything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's being filmed by somebody with their friggin' iPhone going down the road.
Yeah.
And that's just the state of the motion picture industry, where if we want to tell stories of other cultures and we want it to be disseminated to the world,
right?
At this point, we're putting white people in it.
Yeah,
which is bad.
Yeah, it doesn't sit right.
No,
it really doesn't. I mean, it's I don't know,
but
you can't tell me there.
But it's less obvious when it's just voice actors,
right?
Because I didn't even think about it until you said it.
Yeah,
because you know. Because what was on screen was film accurate.
You know? Right, exactly.
But, yeah, but when you mention it, I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. It is a little more subtle, but it just, I don't know. And maybe it is because I'm watching a little bit more, like, Japanese TV and Japanese wrestling.
Yeah.
And things like that, where I'm just sort of used to a certain...
But, like, when you get the English dub of animes, you know, it's always white people.
Always.
And so we're kind of conditioned to it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always preferred the
subs and dubs.
I've always preferred the original audio, either with or without subtitles, because there's like Studio Ghibli movies.
Right.
There's a just grandeur to it, and you can get so much of the story.
Yeah.
Without understanding a word that is said.
Right. And I know it sounds completely weird, but I feel the same way about watching like New Japan Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to know what the commentators are saying.
Well,
I get.
It's like Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
They completely changed everything that was said. That is not a translation of what was said.
Right.
They just watched it and commented on it.
Yeah.
And you can hear the original commentary behind their commentary, and it is not the same.
Right, right. But, I mean, their ability to tell a story in their own language is actually, it carries its own weight.
Right.
Even though I don't necessarily understand.
And it has the inflection of that language and the emotion of that language.
Right. And because, the Japanese language is actually very expressive.
Yes, yes.
Surprisingly expressive.
Why is that surprising?
I think
there's the almost Vulcan stereotype of the Japanese.
It is.
Yes, it is.
And I mean, it's you expect a very measured, mm-hmm. you know, culture, and it's very noble, and you know,
but you have baby metal and free.
Right.
When they go askew, they go way askew.
Right. Oh no, we can talk for hours on like the dichotomy that is Japanese culture,
Yeah,
and how I think.
They have this heavy tradition and these firm, rigid rules.
Right.
Which, even when you go way off the deep end on the other end, you're still in that.
Yeah.
So it's this weird dichotomy, and it's fascinating
it
to
is.
Watch,
no,
actually,
really
in real life.
It is. But yeah, but the language itself is very expressive, and
mm-hmm.
it tells a really nice story.
Yes.
Even though I don't know what it's saying.
Yeah.
So.
If you watch like if you watch Princess Mononoke in Japanese with no subtitles,
you get the story.
You still feel the moments, and you know you don't necessarily know the details about the forest spirits and blah blah blah, but you get the beats of the movie, and you can get the story.
You're not completely lost.
Yeah. Right.
You know, if they just labeled which character was which, you would know exactly what was going on.
Yeah. If you watch The Ring in Japanese with no subtitles, it's still creepy as fuck.
Oh, God, yes. So much creepier than like the U.S. version.
Yeah, because they tried to make it so complicated when they brought it. And the biggest problem is they tried to explain too much.
Yeah.
And
yeah, some of the mystery of that was in the...
What the hell is going on?
Right. I mean, it, and there's...
It's a lame premise, but what the fuck is causing it?
Yeah. I mean, that was the cool thing about it. And you're right. They don't need to, like, just spell it out for you.
Right.
Let the viewer decide, you know, kind of what is this? And, yeah. You know, who caused it? Why that is this? You know? And the really good TV shows right now, that's kind of what they're doing, is they're leaving things a little more open-ended,
mm-hmm.
a little more interpretation. You know, we'll let, especially on, like, you know, season finales and things like that, they're just leaving it out there.
And then the show's getting cut off, and then we're just left with that.
Yeah.
Forever. Hey,
why not? That means they can do a movie or a reunion show later.
Or YouTube video. Yeah, or something.
But I mean, it's something even that, like, Rick and Morty has done, is like, even the creators have said there is a grand plot.
Sure.
We're not going to tell you what it is. We're
going to let you guys
figure it out. Well, we'll let you guys figure it out. And so, I mean, there's just video after video after video of people breaking down episodes to, like, the tiniest bit of minutia and going, well, was this intentional or was this a part of a bigger story? Well, and it's fascinating to me.
And probably the peak of that, and at the same time, the thing that broke a whole bunch of people from doing it, was Lost.
Yes. That is very true.
Because Lost, people were analyzing every little thing. And what, and then the finale came and it went.
Ruined it. Yeah. Just shit all over. Which you'd think somebody would have stopped that.
You'd have thought. Yeah.
Like, somebody would have said,
can we maybe explain a few of the numbers? Yeah. Can we explain some of where some of this came from instead of just, the finale that we got there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we won't even.
And you're right. That finale actually turned me off from watching finales. I very rarely.
It's like my wife will get up to about the midpoint in the final season if we know it's the final season, and she'll stop watching.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I love Breaking Bad. I got all the way up.
We made it through Breaking Bad.
Okay. I got up to like the third to last episode, saw where it was going, and was like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't need to see it happen. I know what's happening.
You kind of do have to, though.
Yeah. I know why I'm watching it later.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean,
but the one that really did that for her, you know, when she was a small child, was MASH.
Oh yeah,
because that finale broke people.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that's still the highest rated TV show of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, that was back when I know it sounds terrible. There wasn't a whole lot else to do,
right?
You know, so. People got really hooked and into these shows, and I mean,
well, and there was only four to choose from,
right?
Yeah,
right. I mean, even in the early days of cable, there weren't shows, you know,
right?
Like,
yeah,
network caliber program.
Anything that was showing on cable was subpar,
probably right, or it was a rerun of something that used to be on network. Yeah. You know, so I mean, that was back in the day. You have chimes in the middle of sentences.
Yes,
and
stop at Windows.
But you would have like 35% of the entire country watching that show.
Yes.
You know, and it's crazy because that never happens now except maybe during the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And even then, the ratings that we get now are so much lower
than
the ratings that they got then.
Yeah.
And some of the networks just can't come to grips with that. And they're still trying to chase those old numbers and they'll never get it.
Oh, of course not.
And...
Of course not. I mean, now with people cutting cords and people, you know, I mean, I don't have DirecTV anymore.
Yeah, I haven't had cable in, probably.
It's been four or 5 years. It's
about 10 years.
Oh, God.
We cut it in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's, so you cut it back when you were getting DVDs from Netflix.
No, not that far.
Can you still get DVDs from Netflix?
I think so.
Interesting.
I think so.
But yeah, but now with the proliferation of cord cutting, like the model of doing television, I think it has to change.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to eventually, somebody's going to break away like a big network, and I'm going to probably bank on it being ESPN. They're going to have to go completely a la carte. And say, okay, you can buy us on cable, Or if you pay whatever a month, you can get all of our stuff.
But because the problem with it being ESPN is that's Disney.
It is Disney.
And Disney wants to sell all of their stuff.
Right.
So no matter what your interest is, we want you to buy all of it.
Right.
Which is the same problem with Viacom.
Yeah. If Disney goes a la carte and says, okay, well, if you want Disney, $10 a month. If you want ESPN, $10 a month. You know, whatever amount of money it is. Because, I mean, cable and satellite, they're bleeding subscribers.
Right. And right now we're getting a flood of Sling TV, Hulu TV,
right.
YouTube TV. And it's just – all it's doing is porting the cable model over onto the web, which I can't stand the cable model at this
right.
point.
I can't either.
I can't stand appointment TV, which is, you know, it's on at this time. I don't do that. The only way I do that is for MLB.tv.
Right,
I'll throw on the free game of the day.
Yeah, for sports.
And
I can do that.
And I do that because it's free.
Yeah.
yeah, for sports, I can do that. But for shows, you know, next day is about the best I do for appointment viewing.
Yeah.
And even then, I'm not really thrilled with it. You know, I'll watch The Daily Show and, you know, I watched The Flash either the day after or a couple days after. And those have split out into their own freaking app. You can't even watch them on Hulu anymore.
Which is so weird.
Which,
I mean, I'm not going to download 45 apps to watch every show that I like.
But that's what I've had to do on my Roku. You know, at least they're free.
Right. That's true. And on a Roku, it'd be different. I don't need to kind of clutter on my phone.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm not a watch the TV on my phone person. Unless I'm sitting there and want to watch like the Thursday night NFL on Twitter while Dora's on the main TV.
Just want
to watch the football game in my chair while the 3-year-old is entertained by the TV. So, yeah.
That works. But yeah, it's, I don't know, but I think the model has to change. And
God, it has to.
I think it's one big person to make the jump.
Okay.
And then it'll break everything.
And wasn't HBO supposed to be that?
Not really. I mean, HBO, but here's the thing. HBO was not a standard cable channel.
Right.
You always had to pay extra for HBO.
Right.
You know, it's just going to take, like I said, an ESPN, a comedy, well, not even like Comedy Central, because they put all their stuff on free TV anyway, or on free stuff anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's going to take somebody on that level that was on basic cable going, okay, we're going to sell our stuff a la carte and it'll change everything.
But I don't want it to be $10 a month. That's ridiculous. If you're wanting me to buy, enough channels to replace what I'm paying, $30 for with Sling TV.
Yeah.
Then I don't need to be paying $10 a channel.
But see, ESPN, you can break it off and you get ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, all of their little ancillary networks.
That's all well and good. How much are they getting paid per cable subscription?
Right.
Because it's not more than a dollar.
Right, exactly.
So charge me $2. You're still making more money.
You may. And I'm sure, and it may not be $10. There may be some sort of because I'm sure they also have to pay for. Well, they've got Watch ESPN, which is already a stable platform.
Yeah, but you have to have a cable subscription to watch
it. Right, but if they sold it a la carte, you could get your own subscription.
Right.
You know, but they don't have to invest any money to build the platform.
Right.
They've got that. So yeah, you're right. They probably could do it for like $5. $5, I think, is just low enough to get people to be like, "All right, cool, that's worth it."
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may bounce on, bounce off depending on the sports season, mm-hmm. but. That I think would do it,
but then Disney's not getting all their auto bundle in where they get all these other channels thrown in that they also get paid for because the cable wants ESPN on their thing.
Yeah.
So, and we're actually running a little long. So that was all about Kubo
and other stuff.
Yeah, and other stuff. We tangent. We'll tell you that straight up. And. It's your pick for next time because I did 3 in a row.
I know, 3 in a row. So I'm going to pick a doozy. We are going to go back to the 80s and we are going to do the movie Clue with Tim Curry.
Which Joe says is on Hulu.
It is on Hulu.
And so I will watch it there. And I am at Woodle on the Twitter and the Instagram. And
I'm that Joe you know on Instagram. I'm the Joe you know on Twitter.
And we will talk at you next time. Tear down.